You have a Bible, let's turn to the book of Exodus, please. Exodus chapter 27. Exodus chapter 27. Here in the book of Exodus, we've been studying the tabernacle. What was the tabernacle? The word tabernacle means dwelling. It's the place of communion between God and man. As Israel was making their way towards the promised land, God instructed Moses to construct this portable, I guess for a better word, worship center, place of worship where God's people could worship their God on their way to the promised land. And we see within this tabernacle structure, God gives us a wonderful picture. He foreshadows the person and work of Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And within the pages of Scripture, Jesus Christ is central. And we see within this tabernacle structure and each of the pieces of furniture, the structure of the tabernacle, the materials used, all of it points to the person and work of Jesus Christ and his provision of salvation for all mankind. Let's note here in Exodus chapter 27, verse number 9, I'd like for us to read from verse number 9 down to verse number 12. From verses 9 all the way down to verse number 19, it deals with the court of the tabernacle, of this structure. In other words, the fencing that went around this area of worship by which man could commune with God and experience God's forgiveness, God's cleansing, communion, and the presence of God. Surrounding this tabernacle area was a fencing known as a court, and it enclosed this courtyard by which man could worship God within the courtyard. Now, let's read verse 9 to verse 12. It reads, "And thou shalt make the court of the tabernacle for the south side southward. There shall be hangings for the court of fine twine linen, 100 cubits long for one side. And the 20 pillars thereof, and their 20 sockets shall be of brass. And the hooks of the pillars and their fillets shall be of silver. And likewise for the north side in the length there shall be hangings of 100 cubits long, and his 20 pillars and their 20 sockets of brass, and the hooks of the pillars and their sockets of silver." Then in verse 12 it reads, "And for the breadth of the court on the west side shall be hangings of 50 cubits, then pillars 10 and their sockets 10. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please teach us from your word, we pray this evening. Help us to see the Lord Jesus in all of his glory and majesty. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Then verse 13 goes on to read, "And the breadth of the court on the east side, eastward, shall be 50 cubits." Now, we believe that a cubit is roughly half a meter, approximately. For the sake of simplicity, wherever the scriptures make reference to a cubit, it is approximately the equivalent of half a meter or 50 centimeters. So this chapter 27 of Exodus, initially dealt with the brazen altar. The brazen altar was the largest piece of furnishing within the tabernacle courtyard. It was the first piece of furnishing that confronted you as you entered into the courtyard. Now, this courtyard fencing was in a rectangular shape. And we see that from the description given here from verses 9 to 13. the courtyard fencing that surrounded the tabernacle area, the enclosure, and then within that enclosure was the tabernacle proper. So the exterior fencing was approximately 50 meters long by 25 meters wide. And the fencing was made out of white material, white linen, the Bible teaches us. And the fencing stood some 2.5 meters high, 5 cubits. And the Bible teaches us that the actual tabernacle proper that the priest went into was 5 meters high. So the fencing was only 2.5 meters high. So from the outside, you could see the tabernacle proper. You could see it, but it wasn't reachable. And then the scriptures teach, as we've just read, there were some 60 posts that held up this material fencing, held together with silver hooks, 20 on one side, 20 on the other side, and then 10, and then 10 that held this fencing together. And each of those posts, which would seem were made out of wood, they rested in brass sockets or footings, and ropes were used and pegs were used to keep the structure upright and secure. There was only one entrance into the courtyard, and it was on the east side. The fencing extended for some 10 of the 20 meters, and it was the only way by which you could enter into the courtyard of the tabernacle. There were three posts at either side, and there were four posts that held up the actual entrance portion. Now, in chapter 35, verse 18, it talks about the tent walls of the courtyard. The fencing was fixed to the grounds by pegs, or the Bible uses the word pins and cords and ropes. So if you can envision a tent, as we understand a tent today, held together ropes and pegs, it was no different within this structure. So this court, or this courtyard, or this fencing that surrounded the tabernacle furnishings, the outside of the tabernacle proper and the tabernacle, what lessons can we learn from this fencing? Well, the first main lesson I'd like to stress this evening is that the purpose of the fence was to show the separation between man and God. The purpose of the fence was to show the separation between man and God. So it was within the fencing that man could experience God. But outside of the fencing, there was no possibility of experiencing God. Man's approach to the tabernacle, where God dwelt, was fenced off completely by this white linen material fence. Now, in the scriptures, white speaks of righteousness. White speaks of holiness. See, it's our sinfulness that separates us from a holy, righteous God. It's our sinfulness that separates us from a holy, righteous God. And the reason why there was a fencing around the tabernacle courtyard and tabernacle proper was to show the separation that exists between man and a holy God. And because of the height of the fencing, man couldn't enter in. It was 2.5 meters high, so you couldn't naturally enter in at your leisure. The Bible teaches us in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as the leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So by comparison to God's perfect righteousness, all our works are unclean. In other words, man cannot reach God in their own effort. This tabernacle area, this area in which man could commune with God, was out of bounds. There was a clear mark of separation. And that's what this fencing illustrated first and foremost, that there was a separation between man and God. God could be reached on the inside, but man is on the outside. And a wonderful picture of the fact that you and I, as sinful people, the Bible teaches us that we've been born with a sinful nature, and all our works of righteousness are as filthy rags, as the Bible teaches, and there's no way we can get to God by our own means. That fence height was too high. You couldn't do it. You could see the tabernacle over the fence. It could be seen, but it couldn't be reached. And it's a wonderful picture of the fact that no matter how much we desire God, we can't reach God in our own strength and by our own ability. But also this fence, the presence of the fence, was for man to see that he has a need. Okay? Not only the fact that man is separated from God, that fencing was made out of a white material, illustrating the righteousness and the holiness of God. Man being sinful, God being holy, we are separated from a holy, righteous God. But also the presence of this fence was for man to see his need. And that is, hey, I'm outside the fence. I don't have a relationship with God, and I can see the tabernacle proper. I can see it, and somehow I need to get in. The tabernacle could be seen. It was 5 meters high. The fencing around the exterior of the tabernacle court was only 2.5 meters high. But it wasn't accessible. And man must understand his inability to meet God's holy standard, because man before a holy God is unclean. Man is separated from God. The Bible teaches us, for the wages of sin is death, separation. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this fence was to show the fact that man is separated from God. Man is on the outside. But also the beauty of this fence, the presence of this fence, was to show man that he has a need. He has a need to get in. Though unclean, though separated from God, he has a need to get in, to be reconciled to God. There is a distance between man and God. Note with me, please, in the book of James, chapter 2, verse number 10. Back in the New Testament, keep your place there in Exodus chapter 27. The book of James, chapter 2, verse number 10, it teaches us, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." So James here makes reference to the Ten Commandments, and he stresses the fact that if you had the ability, hypothetically, to keep 9 out of the 10, you would still be guilty of violating all 10. And this equates with what the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And that is that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this is God's grace, that man can see his need to be reconciled with God. And my friend, before you and I can be reconciled to a holy, righteous God, we need to understand that we have a need. We are not right before God. We are born sinful, and the wages of sin is death. We are separated from God. We are on the outside of the fence. We might be able to see the tabernacle, the place of communion, in the distance, but we are on the outside. And we understand, okay, I'm here, God's there, I have a need, I want to be where God is. And this is what this fence illustrated, that very fact that man has a need. And also, when you think about this fence that surrounded the tabernacle courtyard, the pathway of the fence led to a door. If you go back to Exodus chapter 27, the Bible makes reference to this door. It calls it the gate there in verse 16. Exodus chapter 27, verse 16. For the gate of the court, that is how you enter into the courtyard, so therefore you can have hope of knowing God, experiencing His forgiveness, His cleansing, His communion. This gate, this door, note verse 16, for the gate of the courtyard shall be an hanging of 20 cubits, 10 meters, of blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twine linen, wrought with needlework. And their pillars shall be four, and their sockets four. So this gate, or this door, by which you could enter into a relationship with God, was found on the east side of the fencing. So, in other words, no matter where you stood along the fence, if you kept walking along the fence line, whether you walked clockwise or anti-clockwise, you would reach the gate. And you would be confronted with the entrance, the door into the possibility of a relationship with God. See, we have a knowledge of sin by the written law of God. It's the Bible that reveals to us that we need God. For example, note there in Galatians chapter 3, please. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. The Bible makes reference to the fact that the law condemns man, reveals man that he is condemned before a holy God. But also the benefit of the law is that it not only reveals our need for forgiveness, salvation, but also leads us to that point of salvation. And note there in Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, our guide, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Verse 25, but after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So in other words, this pathway, if you followed the fence line, it was, as I've already said, in a rectangular shape. If you followed the fence line, no matter which way you went, it led to the gate. It led to an entrance point. And thank God it was quite a large entrance point, 10 meters wide. Plenty of room. And the fact is simply this. You and I are on the outside before a holy God. We are on the outside of the court of fellowship with God. And yet God has revealed to us that even though we are on the outside, we can be led within a relationship with God. And the law revealing our need for Christ reveals to you and I that we cannot reach God in our own strength. See, this door led into the possibility of communion and fellowship with God. This door or this gate was on the east end of the tabernacle. The east is very important within the Bible. In the scriptures we read, for example, the sign of our Lord's first coming was from the east. Remember, the entrance to God into the tabernacle was on the east side to teach us that God can be reached through the person of Jesus Christ. See, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible makes reference to a group of wise men that rode into Jerusalem, and they asked the question, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." So the law reveals that man is sinful in need of a Savior, and as Galatians chapter 3 verse 24 teaches us, the law is our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ, that we cannot obtain righteousness by our own strength. We can't climb over the fence to God in our own strength. We need to enter into God's way found only on the east side. A wonderful picture of salvation, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. If you go back to Exodus chapter 27, verse 16, let's note some particulars about this door or this gate on the east that led into the courtyard of the tabernacle, where men, women, and children could experience forgiveness and cleansing and communion and the very presence of God. Well, as we've already read, this gate was a wide gate, 10 meters long. It could accommodate anyone who chose to enter in. It wasn't a narrow, difficult entrance. It was achievable. It was available for all. This is the salvation that God offers. It's available to all. It's for the whole world. It's available for you, my friend, this evening. God's forgiveness, God's cleansing, communion, the presence of God, the hope of eternal life is available for all. That's why this gate, though positioned on the east side, was wide. There was room for all. The Bible teaches us, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And from a child to an adult, this gate was accessible to all. In 2 Timothy 3:15, it talks about Timothy, that from a child you have known the scriptures that have made you wise unto salvation. So the gate was wide. And it's also important that we understand this entrance into the courtyard of the tabernacle was the only way in. We must stress that. It was the only way in. The only opening within the fencing, the only way by which man could approach God. This one and only way beautifully pictures for us that Jesus Christ is the only way to fellowship and communion with a holy, righteous God. So that material fencing that surrounded the courtyard was white specifically to illustrate that man in his natural state is sinful and on the outside separated from a holy, righteous God. But God in his graciousness has provided a way in. A door. A gate. In fact, turn with me to John chapter 10, please. The Gospel of John chapter 10. And note what the Lord Jesus said. So this gate or door was the only way into the courtyard of the tabernacle where man could worship God. Note what the Lord Jesus said here in John chapter 10, verse 9. John 10, verse 9, it reads, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. See, Jesus Christ claims to be that door to heaven. In fact, in John 10, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. My friend, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. You cannot climb over the fence and get to God in your own strength. The fence was too high, 2.5 meters high. You couldn't climb over. You had to look for the entrance, and there was an entrance. Praise God. The entrance was wide. It was available for all, for whosoever will may come. And Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And it was on the east side. And those wise men, as they rode into Jerusalem, they said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. My friend, you can worship God. You don't need to remain on the outside. You can be on the inside, and you can enjoy God's forgiveness. You can enjoy God's cleansing. You can enjoy communion and the very presence of God. Praise God for that. The colors within this gate or this door. Note they're back in Exodus chapter 27. This material gate or door that led into the courtyard where man could fellowship God with God, know God. This material curtaining was made up of four colors, blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twine linen, white. This entrance was made of four material colors, blue, purple, scarlet, deep red, and white. Each of these colors foreshadow Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 3:18, the Bible talks about, for Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Blue in the Scriptures is in reference to heaven. Heaven. Jesus Christ came down from heaven in order to reach man. The color purple speaks of royalty. Jesus Christ is King of Kings, worthy of our worship. That's why the wise men said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? We want to worship him. Worship him. That scarlet-colored material that was part of this gate speaks of the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. That blood that can provide forgiveness. That blood that can restore a sinful individual and declare them righteous in Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, the Bible reads, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twine linen, white. In Jesus Christ, we are made righteous. We have a correct standing before a holy God. Because in 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible teaches us, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, he that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." See, the fencing made it clear that man is on the outside of God because of his sin. But for those of us that have entered through the door on the east, Jesus Christ, those of us that have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are blessed with forgiveness. That's what the brazen altar refers to, that confrontational piece of furnishing as you enter that main door. And then the laver where cleansing took place. Forgiveness, cleansing. And then we enter into the tabernacle proper, and there is communion. We can fellowship with God. And then the holies of holies, that special compartment where the very presence of God was manifested. Beyond communion, experience God. But you must come in through the door. Jesus Christ is the door. The door. Being on the inside within God's fence of righteousness, we are safe and secure. The Bible talks about in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We're on the inside, no longer on the outside. Communion with God, the presence of God within the tabernacle pictures that security that we have in Christ. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let me ask you this evening, are you in Christ? Are you on the outside of the fencing? Or are you on the inside? To get in, it can only be accessed on the east. A relationship with God can only be accessed in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, was buried and rose again. We need to understand the fence is too high. We can't get over in our own strength. We need to get in God's way. God's way is Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There's only one way to heaven, and that's in Jesus Christ. Are you in Christ? Have you received him as your personal Savior? A man by the name of Esau in the New Testament is called a profane person in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. The word profane means literally secular, not spiritual. And this would imply that Esau was not a believer, was never a true believer. He had no sacredness within him. Let me ask you this evening, are you a profane person, purely secular, on the outside of God? Or are you on the inside? Have you entered in through the east gate, Jesus Christ? What is your standing before God? Are you on the outside of the fence of God's righteousness, or are you on the inside of God's righteousness. For you on the inside, for those of us that are on the inside, for those of us that have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we can rest secure that we are in Christ, and in Him we have His righteousness. We ought to be thankful for that. It's made possible by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ purchased our salvation and security by dying for our sin, dying in our place on that brazen altar called the cross. The cross. See, within the tabernacle courtyard, this brazen altar was used to sacrifice many, many sacrifices, animal sacrifices. And with all that blood that was shed on that brazen altar, it could not provide forgiveness, only atonement, covering. But when Jesus Christ came into the world, He became the ultimate Lamb of God, and He shed His blood once and for all, and provides forgiveness for mankind. Jesus Christ is our Savior. I trust that you are on the inside. I trust that you are not like Esau of old, a profane person on the outside. You can be on the in by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. And for those of us that are in Christ, we ought to be thankful that we're in, that we're secure in Christ Jesus. And nothing will ever separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And this is why we remember on a regular basis His broken body, His shed blood. This opportunity is here before us once again this evening, that Christ was willing to shed His blood and have His body broken in order to provide a door in to reconcile sinful man to a holy God. May we, as the people of God, be ever thankful. Let's pray.